Of reciting Durood and Salam upon the Noble Messenger, the best of creation, the mercy of the universe, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a blessed hadith in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam said that whoever recites Durood upon me once, Allah azza wa jalla showers mercy upon him 10 times. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers, respected elders and viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, we are gathered here today in this ijtima organized and delivered by Dawat-e-Islami here in Central Masjid in Victoria Park in Manchester, with a whole event, a whole ijtima, this whole gathering dedicated to the honor of our parents. The rights of parents as mentioned in the Quran by Allah Almighty and conveyed to us through the narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm sure you will have listened with interest, like I did, to the very high standard that Islam sets for children in terms of their behavior with their parents. And we will have learned that Islam expects a great deal of us when it comes to our parents. And when you listen to it, and when you hear that Islam tells us to talk in this manner, behave in this manner, it sounds amazing. And alhamdulillah, you think to yourself, what an amazing religion I follow. What amazing teachings that are teaching me this. And we think to ourselves that, you know, when I grow older, when I'm a parent, then yes, I want my children to do the same with me as well. In principle, it sounds fantastic. Sadly, in practice though, sometimes we fall very short of that high standard that Islam expects of us. Sometimes we don't meet that high standard. Sadly, there are parents in our community, there are parents living on our streets, there are Muslim households in society today where parents are not treated the way those parents should be treated. And one of the things that sometimes stops us, one of the things that prevents us from achieving that high standard, one of the things that comes in the way of achieving that high standard that Islam demands of me, is a dilemma that many, perhaps all youth face in this country. And not necessarily this country, it's just a general issue. And that is balancing on the one hand your parents with, on the other hand, your friends. This is a balancing act. And this is a struggle that youngsters face. And I want to mention at the outset, before I move substantively on to the rest of my talk, that the purpose of today's talk is not to teach us or not to tell us that friends are useless, or to give us this mindset that if you have friends, that means you can't serve your parents. That's not the point of what we're trying to achieve today. But the question I want to ask, and I want all of us to ask ourselves, is in my life, what is my priority? What is the pecking order, as they say, in my life in terms of these different groups of people, my family, my friends, my parents? And that's the question we're going to pose to ourselves, and that's something that all of us, myself included, we need to reflect upon throughout this gathering. I want to start by giving you an example of when this balance between parents and friends, when this balance goes wrong. When the balance is weighed too much in the favor of friends, a real life example of what the result of that is, what the consequences are of this. And it was not very recent, maybe a few years ago, in a town not too far from here, young lad, in his late teens, maybe early 20s, as we would say, in the prime of his life. And this young lad was from a good family. His family was well known in that town where he lived. His dad was a regular namazi at the masjid, and he was the type of family people would say good things about. And what happened, this lad, he had friends, and he had a plan on a particular evening to chill with his friend. Okay? Spend some time with his friend. Nothing per se wrong with that at the moment. And he had planned it for about a week or so. Then what happened on the day that he's going to go and spend some time with these friends, he takes permission from his father. His father says, yeah, no problem, make sure you come back on time, make sure you drive safely, but you can go. He comes to his mother and he seeks her permission. And the mother says to him that, look, I don't want to take you away from your friend, but I'm not feeling very well today. I'm ill today. Don't go with them today, go some other day. Your brothers and sisters are hard to look after. Your dad's already gone out. Don't go with them today, go some other time. Just, I need you at home today. And he said to his mother, he says that, you know, I promised them, we've been planning this for a week. What are they going to say if I cancel on them at the last minute? I've told them that I'm going to bring my car. I'm picking them all up in 2 hours. I can't cancel on them like this. What are they going to say? They already say that I'm a mommy's boy. They already say to me that you spend too much time at home. They're going to embarrass me. It's going to be a big problem for me. And his mother said something to him at that point. She said to him, you know, if they are really your friends, then they would understand your circumstances. But anyhow, he still went. Because he'd promised them, he didn't want to let the lads down. He went out with his friends that night. And his father says that as he was walking out of the house, he says his mom told me that one of his younger brother or his sister, she grabbed him by the leg and she said, you promised me you're going to take me to the park today. Anyhow, he left the house. And he was a good lad. Sadly, his friends were not good lads in the same sense. So he goes out with his friends this evening, and as they're going out, they meet up with some other lads, and he's driving on the motorway, the same motorway that many of you will have come to attend this Ijtima today, and they're telling him to put his foot down. They're telling him to stop driving like a normal, simple guy. They're telling him to put his foot down. And as he reaches the heights of that motorway, which can get very icy at times, his car slips, he has an accident. And he is severely injured in that accident. The other four lads in that accident, they get away with broken arms, broken bones, a few scrapes and bruises. This young lad, the driver of this car, he is paralyzed from the neck down. Paralyzed from the neck down, my dear brothers. And what happens afterwards? That's the real story. What happens afterwards? You know, his friends, the other four lads in the car, they'll move on with their life. They'll carry on their studies eventually. They'll probably get married, buy a house, live with their family. Who's picking up the pieces for this young lad? Who's lost out from this young lad's life? It's his mother who lost out on her eldest son, her support network in her old age. It is his father who probably thought to himself that in my old age, my son is going to drive me around. Today that father in his old age is pushing his son in a wheelchair. It's not the friends that miss, his young brother and sister, his younger sister, who's not going to have her brother watching over her when she goes through school and she lives in this society. It's his younger brother who's going to miss out, who's not going to have an elder brother who would hold his hand and take him to the local park, who would hold his hand and take him to the local masjid. The friends come and they go. It's the parents who end up picking up the pieces, my dear Sami brothers. And that is an example of when the balance is wrong. When the views and the wishes and the desires of friends outweigh the views and the wishes and the desires of our parents. And look at the consequences for that man. Look at the consequences for his family. Look at the consequences for his mother and father. Imagine what went through that mother's heart. What went through her mind when she got a phone call at home saying your son's been in an accident. We can all relate to this. Every mother says to her child when he goes out of the house, be careful. Every mother sits on the musalla and makes dua for her children. What went through the heart of that mother and father when they got a knock on the door from the police officer? And you know, this is perhaps an extreme example. This is perhaps an extreme example, and hopefully, inshallah, never happens to any of us. But you know, we are all here, you've all taken time out, you're in this ijtima today because we want to learn and we want to improve. We want to be better people. We want to reflect on our relationship and our service towards our parents and see if we can be in a better place. And that's why we're here. Let's reflect. That was one example I gave. Maybe extreme scenario. But what about me? How is my relationship? And you know what often happens? If we're not in the best place, whatever place you are in today, certainly tomorrow can be a better place. Wherever we are today, tomorrow can be a better day, I can be a better person. And you know, often what happens is that there's a disconnect or there's a tension. And for us as children, we're not here today, this gathering is not about us telling parents where they went wrong. This bayan is not us telling parents that if you did this differently, this would have been differently today. That's not the topic of today's bayan, of my bayan. The topic of this bayan is what can me as a child, what can I do differently? And that will start, my dear Islamic brothers, when we start to reflect upon how much our parents have put into our lives compared with that of our friends. You know, you're our age, how old are we? They say age is a number. However old you are, you might be 13, 15, 20, 25, 35, 55. You know, however old you are, your parents, your mom and your dad have lived every single day of that 15, 20, 25 years with you. Wherever you are today, wherever I am today, every single one of us, this is the product of the blood, sweat and tears of our parents. Parents invest their lives into their children. Parents, from the moment the child is born, even before the child is born, the parents' hope, aspirations for the future are invested in all of their children. And you know, the problem, there is no problem at the start. When a child is young, when a child is 3-4 years old, naturally at that point the child has no friends in his life. The child reciprocates the love he gets from his parents. As a child, we only had two words on our lips. One was mummy and the other was daddy. There was no friend circle. There was no best mate. It was all about mum and dad. There is no issue at that age. When does the issue arise then? Because parents love their kids all through their lives. When does the issue arise? The issue arises when this child, who only knows mummy and daddy, who does everything with his mum and dad, who always makes a picture at school and he's got his mum and dad, and he brings it as a gift for them. The problem arises when this child is no longer a child and becomes an adult. He goes from childhood to adulthood, and the years in between, teenage, late teens, early 20s. This is when the tension creeps in. Why does it creep in? It's a question we're going to ask ourselves today. Because when a child starts becoming an adult, he thinks to himself, or she thinks to herself, that I have an independent mind. I do what I like. And the parents start to note differences in their children. He's dressing differently. He's walking differently. He talks differently. His lingo has changed. His friend circle has now changed. The way he dresses has changed. He's spending lots of time on his phone. He's spending lots of time in his bedroom. He's spending lots of time on the internet. Parents notice these changes in their children. Parents notice that he's not spending that same time with us anymore. Parents notice that this child who used to wait for his father to have a day off from work so he could go to the park with him, he's not waiting for dad to take a day off work now. He's got his own friends that he's made plans with. Parents notice that the child that would sit with us every evening and play with us and talk with us, that child now comes home from school, college and university and is in his bedroom until he goes to sleep. Parents notice these changes in their children. And then parents naturally parents try to mold their children. Give them advice. Tell them off. And guide them. The parents will say, and maybe all of us have been through this, don't hang around with that guy. I do not want to see you hang around with that guy again. Don't wear your clothes like this. This is not our way. Or when you've come back from the barbers, why are you getting your haircut like this? What kind of style is this you've got on your head? All of us might have been through that situation. Why do parents do that? Because they don't want us to have friends? Because they want us to be a loner? It is the same parents. It is the same parents who guided us and talked to us as children. It is the same mother who said to you that, oh son of mine, don't go close to that fire, it's going to burn you. It's the same mother who said to you as a child that, oh son, don't go close to the stove when I'm cooking, it's going to burn you. It's the same father who used to say, oh son, it's cold outside today, make sure you wear your coat. Parents don't change. No matter how old you get, parents' advice and guidance is there as a means of protection for us in this world. But what happens is we think to ourselves that my parents are restricting me. My parents are not letting me live my own life. My parents are not letting me be an independent person. And this is where the challenge starts. That the same child who was besotted by his parents as a child, as a 5, 6, 7 year old, that same child is now living an independent life of his own, parallel to that of his parents when he becomes a teenager. And all of us, my dear Islamic brothers, no matter what age we are today, wherever we are in our lives, we've got to ask ourselves some serious questions about the expectation of Muslim children towards their parents in terms of giving them time, in terms of serving them, not complaining, not even uttering anything out of annoyance in front of them. You know, that's the yardstick. Where am I against that yardstick today? I want to pose a few questions. That from these questions that I'm going to pose, we can understand or try to ascertain whether we've got the balance right between our parents and between our friends. Ask yourself this question. When a friend does a favor for us today, you ring one of your friends, bro, I need some money. He doesn't ask you why, he'll say to you how much and when do you need it. He'll transfer it into your account. You'll think to yourself, this is a good lad. Yeah, he is one of my close men. He didn't even ask me why. He said to me how much and when and he transferred it into my account. What will we say to him? We'll say, thank you, mate. Yeah, we'll probably buy him a gift. We say, bro, you are my go-to man. We'll tell people, you know what, I've not even got words to describe this guy. This guy is so good to me, he's like a brother, I've not got words to describe him. That's for whom? Somebody who's been in your life for 2 years? Somebody who's been in your life for 4 years? I'm sorry, but it was your father who worked damn hard. It is our fathers who worked damn hard to get us where we are today, not our friends. It was our fathers who worked double shifts in the factory so that we could have a good life. It was our fathers who purchased designer clothes for us, which they never imagined wearing in their life. Why? So that we did not feel embarrassed in front of our mates. It was our fathers who worked tirelessly. Their muscles were tired. They worked difficult jobs. Why? So that their children did not go without. It was our parents who wore the same old clothes on Eid and bought new ones for us. Why? So that we did not feel embarrassed in front of children. My dear Islamic brothers, me as a son, who remembers the favors of my friend, says thank you to them and buys them gifts. When did this son sit his dad down and say, Dad, everything I am today is because of you? When did this son acknowledge the favors that his father has done for him? That's one question. Another question is, who gets our time today? Our days off, our evenings, our weekends, our quality time. We have such a busy routine, whether it's gym, whether it's swimming, whether it's chilling out with friends, planning holidays with friends. From all of this quality time, who gets the most? You know, if you see a friend after a long time, we say to him, I've not seen you for ages. Long time no see, where have you been? It's been a long time since I've seen you. You don't give us no time anymore. And you know, the sad reality is that there are probably many parents today thinking the same about their children. It's been a whole week he's not come to see me. It's been a whole week my son hasn't come to see me. How many parents are sat at home waiting for their children to knock the door? How many parents are waiting for their children? The same mother who would not let her child out of her sight for even 2 minutes. Where are those children today? Why are our lives so busy that we can't have 5 minutes to talk to our mother, 5 minutes to talk to dad? Today the father, and this is the sad reality we're in. Today dad is in his old age, and you see them on the streets, they're walking to the masjid. They're walking to their hospital appointments. They're walking to their doctor's appointments. Son's got a brand new car. Son's too busy at work, too busy with his friends, too busy checking out the latest restaurant. Dad has to walk into hospital. And this is the same dad, who throughout his life, would not have let his son walk. He would have carried him on his shoulders and taken him somewhere. This is the same dad, when he would go outside and if it started raining, he would take his own jacket off and put it on his child. Today that same son has not got time to make sure that when dad got a hospital appointment, that my car should be there taking my dad to the hospital. They don't. Why? Son is too busy at work. Son is too busy with his friends. Son is way too busy in everything else that he's doing. He hasn't got time to take his parents around. These comparisons, sometimes you need someone to tell you. You have to reflect. Yaar, where am I going with this life? Friends will be around forever. But you know what? Parents won't. Parents will be gone one day. And it's time we realize that. It's time we remind ourselves of how we conduct ourselves with friends. How we are careful what words we choose in front of them. But how we don't even care about the time we spend with our parents. Today we spend hours on our phone. Hours. Going through latest messages, going through social media. But then when mom or dad calls, we end up cancelling the call. Often they're probably calling to ask about us. To ask how we are. To ask if we've had something to eat. And this tension between parents and their children, my dear Islamic brothers, this is a tension that starts when? At the teenage years. And it continues from that moment onwards. Why does it happen? The parents don't change. Mom and dad are the same mom and dad they were 10, 15 years ago. The parents are the same that they were. What changes is us. Our attitudes, our aspirations, and our outlook on life changes. And this is one of the things that causes the tension between children and their parents. And sadly, you know, this situation that we find ourselves in, of children not respecting their parents, of children not giving time to their parents, of children not conducting themselves in the manner that they should with their parents, we've come a very far away from that high standard that what Deen expects of us. And you know, one of the purpose of this gathering today was to wake us up, for us to realize, where are we going with this? How far have we come from that straight path? And you know, we meet people, and it genuinely saddens me to say this, that this is now happening. That when you meet people after an ijtima, you meet parents, and all of the muballighin who are sat here today, all of the ulama-i kiram, would agree with this, that one of the most often complaints of parents, one of the most often issues that they are asking dua for, they'll say, Mawlana sahab, please make dua, my son is off the rails. Mawlana sahab, please make dua, my son and daughter don't listen to me. Hazrat sahab, please make dua, my children talk back at me today. And yes, some of them do say that, Huzur, please make dua, my children swear at me today. And it genuinely saddens me to say this. And you know, I used to hear it. Sometimes you hear bayan on people talking about parents. And people used to say, Muballighin used to say, scholars used to say, that you know, we're living in a time when children swear at their parents. And you know, when I used to hear this, I think to myself that that's just an extreme case. Yeah, surely not. Surely, yeah, you know, we are not that bad. We are not that bad that children in a Muslim household to Muslim parents with the teachings that we've just heard about, that they swear at their parents. Surely not. And you know, I wish I was right. Sadly, I was wrong. I was very, very wrong. And you know, it hit me in the face because a guy came to me and he had it on his phone. He had recordings on his phone, which I said I don't want to listen to. With tears in his eyes, he said that I've got a recording of my phone of him at home swearing disgusting, filthy language in front of his mother. Filthy language in front of his mother. So where did he learn those swear words? His mom didn't teach him those swear words. His mom didn't even know the language. He learned those swear words outside with his friends. He learned those swear words when he was going through school and college and university, chilling with his friends on the side. Those swear words that he learned with his friends outside, today he's coming and using them on his mother. How far have we come, my dear Sami brothers, from that straight path? How far have we come from the teachings of our deen if children in our communities today, in our society today, in a Muslim community, there are children who have the audacity to swear at their parents? How sad a reality is that for us? And again, you might think to yourself, well, look, I would never dream of doing such a thing. Yeah, but there's very different ways in which parents can be disappointed sometimes. There's very different ways in which parents feel let down by their children. It's not always because somebody swears. It's because of the way somebody talks sometimes. It's because of the way someone conducts himself. And what must be going through the minds of these parents today who are going through this heartache? That's why we're here. We're here today to give a voice to those parents. To give a voice to parents who probably look at other people's children and think to themselves, where did I go wrong? This ijtima is to give a voice to those parents who say that, you know what, I would have been better if I didn't have any children. This ijtima is to give a voice to parents whose biggest desire is not to live in a big house. It's not to have the latest car. It's not to wear the nicest and latest designer clothes. Their biggest desire is for their children to talk to them with some respect. And how many people will there be in our contact list that we know whose parents cry themselves to sleep at night because of this? So this ijtima is to give a voice to those parents. And you know, if those parents were here today, if mothers and fathers were here in this ijtima today, what would they say? And this applies not to just to people who swear, or people who talk back, or people who are rude. This applies to each and every single one of us. I want you to lower your heads for a moment. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about your mom and your dad. Think positive, don't think anything negative. Just remind yourself of your mother and your father. What would my mother and my father say to me if they were here today? What would parents in our community say? There's a fair chance that your mother would say that, oh son of mine, what do you know? That I invested my whole life in you. That when I got the good news that I was expecting, this was the best news in my life. She would say to you that all of the problems I'd experienced until that point, they seemed nothing to me all of a sudden, because Allah Ta'ala had given me this gift. She would say that I struggled with you, son, that your childhood wasn't easy, that I went through very tough times with you, that at times I cried myself to sleep at night, that at times I didn't have much money, but oh son of mine, I persevered with you, and I clothed you, and I fed you. She would say to you that, oh son of mine, I didn't know the language of this country, but I still make sure you go to school and nursery on time every morning. She would say, "Oh son of mine, I did not know the language, but when you were ill, I still managed to get you to the doctors and get you the correct medicine every single time." She would say, "Oh son of mine, I always try to make you look good in front of your friends." She would say that, "Oh son of mine, I had many struggles. I had many tough circumstances. But I put them all to one side. I held you in my arms. And I thought to myself that so what if my friends live in a better house? So what if my friends wear better clothes than me? So what I haven't seen my own parents for 5 years? So what I haven't been back to my own country for years and years and years? I held you in my arms, O son, and I said to myself that this is my future." Your father would say to you that, "Oh my son, times were tough, money was tight, but I still gave you a good upbringing. That, oh son of mine, I would wear old clothes myself on the day of Eid. I would go to weddings wearing the same clothes that I had for years and years. But, oh son of mine, I always brought new clothes for you on the day of Eid. Oh son of mine, I was tired. My muscles and my bones were aching. But I still worked long hours at the factory. And I counted my pennies just to make sure that you did not go without. I would count pennies. I would walk in the rain because I could not afford the bus fare. But whenever you went shopping with me and you picked a toy which was so expensive, I still bought it for you. They would say that I did all of this for you. I brought you up. Then you became older. Then I started to be careful of what I said in front of you. I didn't want to break your heart. I didn't want to embarrass you in front of your friends. Oh my son, I forgot my friends. I put my family to one side. I didn't see my own parents for years because I didn't want to leave you alone. Oh my son, I did all of this today so that you talk back to me. So that you answer me back. So that you talk to me with that kind of language. So that you embarrass me in front of my friends. That, oh son of mine, today I look at other parents and I look them being driven around by their children in their nice cars. I see them being taken care of and I wonder what I did wrong with you. My dear Sami brothers, this is a familiar story. This is a story that every single person in the Ijtima can relate to, because our parents have invested their whole lives in us as children. Whatever we are today is a product of their effort from day one. And my dear Islamic brothers, it's time for us today to return to our parents. It's time for us to honor our parents the way they deserve to be honored. It is time for us to fulfill those hopes and aspirations and dreams that parents have of us. The time is not too late. The time for us, my dear Islamic brothers, to change is not tomorrow. The time for us to change, my dear Islamic brothers, is today. And that change has to come from us. The change has to be meaningful. And the change has to come immediately. And often these problems come, why? Because of too much emphasis towards friends. Friends carry too much weight in our lives. Like I said to you before, your friends, you will always have friends. Some come, some go. But it is always your parents that you only have them once. Make the most of this gift. Make the most of serving your parents. And you know, when you do serve them, when you serve them properly, and when you do with your parents what is expected of you as a child, our deen is beautiful, because the reward for that is amazing as well. I'm going to share with you just a couple of narrations about the reward for those people who do honor their parents. for those people who do serve their parents the way they should be served. It says that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam once asked Allah Azza wa Jal, who will be my companion in paradise? Companion of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam in paradise. He was shown his companion in paradise. Who was he? It was a guy who worked at a butcher's shop. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he went to look at him. And when he went inside, he found him, he's there chopping meat. It wasn't because of the way he chopped meat that he was to be the companion. Then he followed him home, and he noticed that he was taking some bugs home with him as well. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked him, can I be your guest? And he said to him, look, I don't have very much, but of course I'll try to deal with you as best as I can. He took Hazrat Musa alayhi salam to his house. But his mehman nawazi was not the reason he was to be the companion. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he says, I looked keenly, and then I saw him preparing some food, the meat and the things that he had brought back from the butcher's shop, he was cooking them. Because I watched him keenly. And the way he cooked was not the reason for him to be the companion either. He says, then I watched keenly and he took down a basket. He says, in that basket was an old frail woman. He says, he took a damp cloth and he wiped her face. And he says, he took food, small portions of food, and he put them inside her mouth. He said, the meat, he would chew it in his own mouth, make it soft, and then place it inside this woman's mouth. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam noticed that the woman, she was murmuring something. And when he asked that who is this man, who is this woman to him, he was told that that is the mother of this man. And what was she murmuring? Every time he gave her something to eat, she would make a dua for him that, Ya Allah, make my son the companion of Musa alayhi salam in paradise. Look at the power of the dua of that mother. My dear Sami brothers and viewers of Madni channel, time for us to return to our parents. Time for us to give them the honor that they deserve. Remember, there are three types of du'as that are never rejected. One of them is a dua made by a father for his son. Let's make ourselves deserving of the du'as of our parents. Not just by asking them, but let's make ourselves such children that naturally when our parents sit down, they make du'a for us. If we want honor in our lives, we must honor our parents. If we want respect in our lives, we need to respect our parents. If we want to be successful in our lives, then we need to be successful with our parents. There's no two ways about it. Successful life without honoring and serving parents is not possible. And this is the purpose of this ijtima today, my dear Sami brothers, for us to remind ourselves that we have a great, great gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla in our homes. Let's make the most of this gift. When we go back from here today, let's go back as changed people. Let's make some good intentions here. Before I finish, let's just make one intention together. Now from this day forth, from this day onwards, if my parents ask me to do something, if my parents ever ask me to do something, I will try never to utter any word or any sound of annoyance in front of them. Everybody make intention. I want every single youngster here especially, every nojawan whose parents have invested everything in him for him to be here today, I want you to make this intention. That from this day forth, I will try my utmost to serve and honor my parents. How to talk and niyat kare? InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Al-Ameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.